Father, we give you thanks again for the blessing of being together with your people, Lord, to worship you. Lord, this is why you have made us. You have made us to give you praise and thanks and worship and to be with one another together. So we thank you for this blessing and this duty you've given us. I pray that today we would worship you in spirit and in truth, that we would do so humbly, coming before you this morning in the right posture, Lord, as those who have no merit of their own, but who are brought near through the blood of your Son. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for your word that you've given us. Help us to not consider certain parts to be unimportant, but help us to learn to glean from all of your word all that you would have us to learn. Help us as we do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've gone through the first seven chapters of Leviticus now, and we have seen the detailed instructions for all of the offerings and the sacrifices. So that is the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sacrifice of sheep, the well-being offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. Then we saw in chapters 6 and 7 a bit more of a detailed look at those sacrifices and offerings, giving a little more instruction as to what's supposed to happen with the actual carcasses and that sort of thing. Who gets to eat what? Where does it get eaten? And so now for today, what I'm going to try and do, we're actually going to do at least one more week of this. One more week of this after today. Today was supposed to be the end, but there's just too much for me to get through, and I'm not exactly sure how to wrap it all up with a bow yet. So we're going to look today at chapters 8, 9, 10, and 16. And so that's going to give us a look at the consecration of the priests. Then at the episode of Nadab and Abihu in chapter 10. And then there is a bunch of instruction between 11 and 15 regarding clean and unclean animals. And then chapter 16, we get the instructions for the Day of Atonements or Atonement, which has a lot to teach us. So that's our goal. We're going to get through chapter 8, 9, 10, and 16 today. And I think once we're done this, we're going to see a lot of the way this plays out. So in the consecration of the priests, we're going to see them using some of these offerings. In Nadab and Abihu, we're going to see improper worship. And then in the Day of Atonings, we're going to see a whole bunch of this stuff kind of all come together and give us a picture of what these things are all doing. And hopefully, at the end of today, we will have answered the question we set out to, which is, can man dwell with God, right? The end of Exodus, remember Moses goes to the tabernacle, to the tent, but he cannot enter because the glory of the Lord had filled. So the question is, well, how are we to approach God? How are we to be with him? And hopefully by the end of today, we're going to see the answer that Leviticus gives, which isn't the answer that we give as Christians in the year 2026. But it will at least give us the answer to how Leviticus answered that question, which is going to set up the kind of rest of the Old Testament narrative leading up to the advent of Christ. So let's go to chapter 8, and let's read... let's read all of chapter 8. Let's put that up. Somebody wants to take verse 1 through 21, and someone else wants to take the rest of the chapter. Who's got that?
The Lord spoke to
me. You're going 1 to 21?
Yes.
Okay, who's going wrong?
The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. And assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent meeting. And And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breast piece on him, and in the breast piece he put on the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl of the sin offering, and he killed it. And Moses took the blood, and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it, and purified the altar, and poured out the blood at the base of the altar, and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all of the fat that was on the entrails, and the loose lobe of the liver, and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burnt them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he killed it, and Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on their big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat, and the fat of the tail, and all the fat that was on the entrails, and the long lobe of the liver, and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took 1 unleavened loaf, and 1 loaf of bread with oil, and 1 wafer, and placed them on the pieces of fat, and on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands, and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. It was his ordination offering, with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with them. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And this is what remains, and what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside of the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As it is done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for I have been commanded." And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses.
Okay, so anything jump out? Similarities, differences to some of the other offerings we've seen? Sort of big picture stuff.
Blood of the bulls and the earlobes.
Right, so this is the first time we see blood being applied to a person, right? Not to the altar or, as we're going to see, the Day of Atonement inside the veil, that sort of thing. So what can we glean from that? If the blood is used for what purpose? What did we say the blood was doing?
Atonement.
Atonement, yeah, or But not atonement necessarily in the sense of expiation of sin or propitiation, but atonement in the sense of purification, purging, or consecration. And so the priesthood is here being set up, right? They haven't done anything yet. So far in Leviticus, all we've had is the instructions for what to do. And now we're getting to the point where they're actually going to have to start performing their work. And so they're being consecrated to that purpose. So that's a good catch there, the blood. Anything else? Yeah, Ronald.
I just find it really sad that they spent 7 days in the tent of meeting, and I presume this is also with Moses' sons, Nadab and Abihu, and all these rituals that they were doing, I'm sorry, Aaron's sons. And after all these rituals, they still offered the strange fire at the end.
Yeah.
Like, this is so, I don't know, if you're spending 7 days in this tent, and you're trying to, and it's for the purification of your sins, like, you think you'd be more careful. But then I guess also,
yeah, it's gonna get worse too. I mean, it's not, yeah.
I guess
the reason for what they did being worthy of what they received is kind of shown a little more clearly as we get through chapter 9 into chapter 10. But yeah, it's odd to think that. Well, not odd, it is sad. Yeah. Any other thoughts on sort of what's happening here? Like, the sacrifices the offerings are being offered here.
They're being laid first.
There's a wave, yeah, there's a wave being done. We see multiples, right? So it's not just one or the other. We've got sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings. Yeah, very
the anointing.
The anointing of the oil, yes. So we read Psalm 133 off the top, right? The anointing oil on Aaron's head, dripping down onto the corners of the robe. That's sort of a picture in Psalm 133 of what's happening here in this consecration.
Similar to before, you see the burning of the fat?
Yep, burning of the fat, burning up of the rest, because it's a sin offering, right? The sin offering for the sin offering for the high priest and the congregation aren't eaten. They're partially burned inside and then partially taken outside. Who's offering these?
Moses.
Moses. Is he a priest?
No.
So there's something going on here, right? Between, up till this point, Moses is the one who is, I guess you could say, closest. He's the one that God is meeting with face to face. But that's now changing to the priesthood. And so Moses is the one who's actually acting as a priest. And you see that in, we're going to go through all of this, but in verse
19, and he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar.
Yeah, so Moses is performing the rites, but also Moses takes the breast, he takes the brisket, right, that was for the priest, that's supposed to be the priest, but it's Moses that takes it here, because he's the one that offered the sacrifice, or the offering, he's the one that offered the offering. All right, some good catches, so let's go through that. I don't think there's going to be too much else we haven't mentioned already here. So in verses 1 to 4, we see Aaron, his sons, the offerings, the garments, the oil, and the congregation are all brought near. They all show up here now at the tabernacle, the entrance of the tent of meeting. In verses 5 through 9, Aaron and his sons are washed by Moses. So we haven't really seen this yet in Leviticus, but in Exodus it talks about the lavers, the wash basins, that all would have been in the courtyard there. So Moses is washing the priests with those wash basins. In verses 10 through 13, Moses anoints the utensils, the garments, and Aaron with the oil of anointing. That's that word Mashiach, which we get Messiah from. This is the oil that was specifically there to consecrate them. And after this, Aaron's sons are dressed. Now, they're not dressed in the priestly garments. They're just, it says they're given coats and robes, but these weren't the garments of the high priest. In verses 14 through 21, Moses offers the bull of the sin offering and the ram of the burnt offering, according to the rule that we've seen in chapters 1 and 4. In verses 22 through 27, the ram of ordination is offered, and the blood is applied to the right ear, thumb, and big toe, as well as the altar. The fat portions and organs are placed with the grain offerings on top and handed to Aaron to wave before the Lord. So here we start to see this, like, these offerings being used simultaneously. But
just wondering, what is the right side of the person? Why is that so prominent?
I don't necessarily have a definite answer to that, but in Scripture, the right, so your right hand is sort of synonymous with your strength or your will, your power. The right arm of the Lord is sort of his will, I guess, or his strength. And so presumably they're all right-handed. They're going to be using their right hand for the Lord. That's the only thing I can really think of without looking into it too much more. I don't know, Jerry, you had any insight into that?
I don't. I only have guesses.
Yeah. So that, consider that a guess at this point. But it's the idea of right, the right hand, the right arm, is an idea of strength, of power. And verse 28, Moses took these and added them to the burnt offering that was on the altar. Those were the things he collected, the fat, the grain, and adds them to the burnt offering. Verse 29, Moses takes the priest's portion of the ordination offering as he is acting as priest in order to initiate the priests. In verse 30, Moses anoints Aaron and his son's garments with oil and blood. And verse 31 through 36, Moses commands Aaron and his sons to remain at the entrance to the tent of meeting for 7 days. It says they're to perform what the Lord has commanded. I take that to mean they're to perform these rites every day for 7 days. They were to remain day and night, and it says so that they would not die. So we already kind of getting a little foreshadow here of the seriousness of this. And the fact that their consecration, their sanctification, needed to be so thorough that when they did approach the Lord, they would not die. Okay, next, chapter 9. Let's split that up. Gabe, you wanted to read? You want to read verse 1 through 11? And if somebody else can do 12 through the end. Who's got the end?
On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons, and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offering, to sacrifice before the Lord. And a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar, and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. And bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him. And he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the loin of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp.
Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he splashed it around the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought near the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering which was for the people and slaughtered it and offered it for sin, like the first. He also brought near the burnt offering and offered it according to the people's judgment. Next, he brought near the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar, besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offering, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he splashed it around in the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering in the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breasts, and he offered them up with smoke on the altar. The breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before Yahweh, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent with Eli. Then they came out and blessed the people, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before Yahweh and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And all the people saw it and shouted and fell on their faces.
So, any observations? Who's doing the offerings now?
Aaron.
Moses, now it's Aaron. They've been consecrated. Now they're getting into the swing of things. They're still not all the way there yet, because we see they're offering sin offerings. Aaron's offering them for himself and for his sons. But he's not bringing any blood into the tent of meeting yet, which you're supposed to do with the sin offering for the high priest, right? You're supposed to bring the blood in, but they haven't gone in yet. So we're getting closer now, but we're not there yet. Any other thoughts, Laura?
So this is happening so that the glory of the Lord may appear to them now, instead of just Moses.
Yes. Very good. Catch. And what happens when the glory of the Lord appears? Fire comes out and consumes the offering. Which is a sign of acceptance, right? In this particular instance.
A question?
Yes.
Verse 3. I say to the people of Israel, so is that like all the people, all the families?
I think there was one for them, like as a whole.
One for all.
So there was, they were offering something corporately at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Robert, you had a question?
Yeah, just about peace offerings. I might have missed this. What are they, and is it associated with waving the offering, and then do the priests eat it?
They do, yes. And we're going to see in the next chapter sort of how this is playing out. So this is like a real short timeline. Everything we've gone through so far is happening like all very quickly. And so even into the next chapter, it's still happening on the same day. So we're going to see, but yeah, with peace offering, sacrifices of well-being, or peace, the peace offering, that's the one that the person who brings the offering for the sacrifice shares with the priest. So they eat it together, which is a sign of the well-being and the shalom between man and God. So that would have been part of here. And we're going to see that in the next chapter. Okay, let's do a little once over on this chapter here. So verses 1 to 5, after the 7 days were complete, they now are to bring the sin offering and the burnt offering as is the congregation. So both the priests and the congregation are to bring the sin offering and the burnt offering, as well as the sacrifice of peace or well-being offering. And they must do this because today the Lord will appear to you. They brought these things and drew near before the Lord. Remember that imagery of drawing near is all bound up with this offering. That's the same word. Verses 6 through 22, Aaron offers sin offerings and burnt offerings for him and his sons first, and then offers the offerings and sacrifices of the congregation according to the rule that we've already labored over. And after this, Aaron blesses the people and comes down from the altar. In verse 23, Moses and Aaron are now able to enter the tent of meeting. They do so and then return to the court where God shows his glory to the people. And in verse 24, fire comes out from before the Lord and consumes the offerings. The people shout with fear and fall on their faces. That's That word shout is the same word as to sing, but it can also be like a shout of distress. So it's likely a shout of distress. Just like when the congregation is scared by the thunder and everything that's happening on the mountain when Moses goes up, you know, they want it to stop. Right? So there's a bit of an irony here, right? Because like, well, how do we approach the Lord? How do we dwell with him? And then when it starts to happen here, we're seeing distress, we're seeing fire, maybe this isn't something we wanted after all, you know? This is scary. To dwell in the presence of God is no fickle thing, right?
So fell on their faces as they worshiped?
The word was, I looked at this yesterday, it's to prostrate yourself. Yeah, to which is the word to worship, but it can also just be used to fall. But it's, yeah. So they're distressed and they fall on their faces. Okay. More thoughts on that? So, I mean, this is essentially answered the question now that we set out to ask, right? How are they supposed to draw near with the glory of the Lord being in the tabernacle at the end of Exodus and Moses not being able to enter? Well, now they've entered. This is what it took for that to happen.
Sorry, quick question.
Yes.
So are these offerings on the eighth day for the people of Israel or still for the consecration of the priests?
The consecration is done. So now these are sin offerings and burnt offerings for the priests. And sin offerings, burnt offerings, and sacrifices of well-being for the people.
Okay.
So now they're supposed to be doing this all according to the rule that was set out in chapters 1 through 6. 1 through 7, rather. So this is now, it's up and running. The system is going.
Okay.
Yeah, Robert.
I just find it ironic that a lot of contemporary music, church music, would say, God, set your fire. Do you really want it?
Yeah. It's usually not a pleasant thing, right? We think of all the instances of it in the scripture. You think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You can think of this or what's coming in the next chapter. Or even in Matthew, you know, he will clear the threshing floor and they will be burned with unquenchable fire. That's not a good thing for them, unfortunately. Yeah. We tend to think of this, too, as a real... Because of where we're at in, I guess, the narrative of the scope of the grand story... You know, we rely on the mercy of the Lord, and we see this, and we say, oh man, this is so harsh. But there's still mercy in this, right? The Lord is still giving them a way to draw near. Even though it's not perfect, like we see with the sacrifice of Christ, it is prefiguring that, right? It's pointing them to that. And they could still approach him and have salvation through faith. So there's still grace here. There's still mercy here. Yeah, sure.
What's your note? Sorry.
No, that doesn't mean this.
I wanted to add to what you're saying, just to highlight again. You know, if we think of Genesis through Deuteronomy as being a complete work, the last time you see fire coming out of heaven, consuming something is with, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? And so when you think about the fact that now fire comes out from before the Lord and consumes them, consume something. The fact is that the people are spared because the offering is consumed. Right? So that really is the picture of grace. There's a substitute for them.
Yeah.
And so the people are spared because there's something that is consumed instead of them.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. So it's almost like the fire is inevitable, but what's the thing that's going to be consumed?
Yes.
You or the offering? And with that, let's go to chapter 10 here. And if somebody wants to read verses 1 through 11, Tyler, and then 12 through the end of the chapter, Gabe.
Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near. Carry your brothers away from the tent of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die. And wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses."
Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons. "Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due, from the Lord's food offerings, for so I commanded. But the brass that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. For they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord has commanded." Now Moses diligently inquired about the oath of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy, and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded." And Aaron said to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. And yet such things as these have happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved?" And when Moses heard that, he approved.
Alright. Any observations? Starting to see everything play out here. Okay, let's go through it. So, verse 1, obviously this starts with a very short narrative of what happens to Nadab and Abihu. They took censers and offered strange or foreign fire before the Lord. So it doesn't exactly say what that is, but the priests were supposed to take the censer with the coals, put the dedicated incense, remember there's that specific incense they were supposed to use, and bring that into the holy place and put it on the altar of incense. So it's likely that they've tried to innovate something, but either by using a different incense, or perhaps with the instructions in verse 8 that they're to drink no strong drink. Maybe they were drunk. Maybe there's something like that going on, but they've offered something in a way that was not pleasing to the Lord. Verse 2, they were consumed by fire from before the Lord. So this is the exact same wording as the end of chapter 9, where it says the offering is consumed by fire from the Lord. And that word from the Lord is from the face of the Lord. But before the face of the Lord. So the fire comes out and consumes them, just like it did the offering. Verse 3, Moses says, those who approach must regard the Lord as holy. You can't just approach the Lord in whatever way you deem best. Verse 5, this Nadab and Abihu are carried out in their coats, so they're not completely consumed by the flame, but they are carried out. In verse 6, they're told not to mourn the dead, but rather they would be mourned that God had been disobeyed and that judgment had fallen. There's even a warning against death for anyone who would be mourning their brothers. Verse 7, they're not to leave the tent of meeting, because that would cause them to, right, they would be not sanctified anymore once you leave the precinct. You would have to be reconsecrated or re-sanctified as you come back in. So Aaron and Ithamar and Eleazar are not allowed to actually bury their kin here. So the cousins are brought in to take the bodies and remove them. Verses 9 through 11, the Aaronic priests were to live in holiness so that they could teach the people to live in holiness before the Lord. And so how are they supposed to teach if they themselves are not even able to distinguish between the holy and the common? And this is going to be a common theme all through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament as we read Jesus' condemnation of the leaders. It's that they're shepherds that aren't shepherding properly, right? This is a common refrain through the prophets. So it is the purpose of the priests to communicate these things to the people and teach them. Verses 12 through 15, they were in the midst of some sacrifices and offerings when this happened, and were to continue through the process. So we have this thing, Moses comes and says, Moses upset, he comes and says, hey, you offered the goat for sin offering, but you haven't eaten it yet. You're supposed to take it into the sanctuary to eat that. And that's how the atonement is completed for the people. And verse 19, Aaron argues that since the calamity had befallen, he was unfit to eat of this sin offering. So he's... Right, he knows what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to take that part of the goat into the tent and eat it. And Moses is like, hey, I just told you to like do the thing, but you haven't done it yet. You haven't eaten the goat. And Aaron makes the plea that because of everything that had happened, this would not be fitting to do. And it says in verse 20 that Moses approved of this. I'm not exactly sure. In verse 19 and 20 there, if Aaron's excuse is valid, it seems some commentators say that Moses' approving of this is not giving approval to Aaron's excuse. That seems to be what's happening here. So I don't know, maybe we can talk about that a bit. But we're seeing it play out, right? Now the Levitical priest, or the Levitical sacrifices are in motion there to do them according to the rule. And on day one, we see not only Nadab and Abihu doing something unauthorized, but Aaron is forsaking this one duty he had to do of eating this, eating the meat of the goat. So we're off to a great start. Any thoughts on that?
Would have been like just orally, or would have been written down? Like,
I don't think it would have been written down yet. It's the commands at the beginning of each section are saved to the people of Israel, saved to Aaron. So I think it was transmitted orally at this point. Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, I think we came across this in our family prayer, and so we can think about this for a while. I think this might obviously be a bit. The eating, like the high priest eating the offering, is also a sign of it being accepted before the Lord. And the two sons being consumed indicates that there's something going on over there. You can't say the offering is fully accepted because the two priests are consumed. And so Aaron's maybe using an excuse, but I don't think, like, the Bible's not, has no problem of making Aaron look foolish. You know, but he said, like, I threw the gold in, and then, you know, the calf came out. Right? And then also Moses going, like, yeah, that's dumb. I'm not going to accept that. And this seems to be acceptable. So what he's saying, it doesn't look like an excuse. It actually looks like it's true. And Moses says, yeah, that logic makes sense. So it seems to me, this is my opinion, that him not eating the offering is related to God not actually accepting what happened at the beginning of the chapter.
Yeah.
And if he were to eat it, it would be for him to ignore God consuming the two sons.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking, well, if I go in there to eat this, am I going to be consumed as well?
Right.
Something else that had struck me is, it's not exactly clear where Nadab and Abihu were when this happened, but it seems like they were either just inside the tent, so they're in the holy place, but they're taken from the doorway of the holy place where they have to take their bodies away. So I'm not sure exactly where that happens, but either way, there is human death happens inside the holy place, which Aaron would have understood, would have desecrated it, right? And so he could be thinking about this as well. I tend to think this is, like you're saying, it's an acceptable excuse, not excuse, acceptable reason. And so he's kind of working through the logic of all this. Okay, we're doing this, but people have died inside here. That's desecrated the space. How is God going to accept that? That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, Laura.
Not about that, but in verse 3, where am I? The Lord said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. So that language, does that mean that he wants people to think of him as holy? Like, I don't understand, I will be sanctified. I'm sure.
Yeah, I will be, the language is more like, I will be regarded as holy.
Yep.
So it's hard to kind of get that across.
If you do the thing we did with the Psalms, the parallelism, the second line actually.
Right. I will be sanctified, and before the people I will be glorified.
Yeah.
It's the job of the priests, those who are near, to regard him as holy and to act in a way that exemplifies that.
Honor.
And you honor that by obeying the commandment of how to do those sacrifices.
Yep. And just to add to that, the reason why Moses and Aaron can't go into the promised land later, God says to them, it's because you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the when they struck the rock, when God asked them to speak to the rock, the crime was, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. So it's exactly as you said, obeying the Lord exactly as he says is regarding him as holy. Disobeying him dishonors him.
Right. And again, we see, so Leviticus is answering the question, but there's still not an adequate, like, nobody can still draw near perfectly. Nobody can actually dwell in a holy place. Like, only one person can go in once a year, which we're going to get to momentarily. And even that, in that example of Aaron and Moses not being able to enter the promised land for these faults, it just shows that this is an imperfect system, right? The system is, to be sure, full of grace and mercy. For the Lord is still dwelling with his people, but it's not perfect because it has to happen over and over and over again, and it doesn't, as Hebrews says, it doesn't perfect those who draw near. It didn't perfect them. Okay, let's turn to chapter 16. Chapter, we need three readers. Somebody wants to do 1 to 10. 11 to 22. Tyler? And then 23 to the end. So I gave your hands up. All right.
11 to 22, right?
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen cloak, and shall have the linen undergarment on his body. And he shall tie the linen sash around his waist, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. You shall bathe his body in water, and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell to the Lord, and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel.
Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small. And he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat, on the east side, and in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat with the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel, and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house, for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out from the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the life. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness.
Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting, and shall take off the linen garments that he put upon when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in a holy place, and put on his garments, and come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, to make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who lets the goat go to Azazel shall wash his clothes, and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. Their skin and their flesh and their dung shall be burned up with fire. And he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. And it shall be a statute to you forever, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves, and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the holy linen garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest, for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. Aaron did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Lots of stuff in there, right? Anything jump out at you? The goats, yeah, we got two goats. One is going off to Azazel, whoever or whatever that is. The Hebrew word for goat is Az, Ez. And so there's some thinking that maybe this Azazel is some sort of goat demon god. But it's unclear. But either way, the goat is sent to the wilderness, right? The wilderness is the place of where God is not dwelling. It's the place of chaos and desert, no water, no prospering, dryness, right? Death, all of this. That's the idea here. Okay, so I think we can probably get through this before the end here. So in verse 1, the Lord gives the instructions for the Day of Atonings. In light of the deaths of Nadab and Abihu. Verse 2, Aaron is not to enter the Holy of Holies behind the veil because God was to appear there, and Aaron would perish if he were to enter at any time. He shall bring a bull and a ram for a sin offering, a burnt offering, verse 3. Verse 4, he shall wear the holy linen garments which are described in Exodus. Designed in a way to make the person who's wearing them not to sweat, right? A nice light linen that breathes, so that the priest isn't sweating while he's in there. Kind of what we've seen about, bodily discharges and things like that. There's a sense of, ceremonial uncleanness tied to that. And I think that's the idea here with these linen garments. Verse 5, from the congregation, two goats and a ram for sin offering and burnt offerings. So we're kind of seeing a repetition of what happened after the consecration. Verse 6, Aaron is first to atone for himself and for his house. Verse 7 through 8, the two goats are chosen by lot. One is a sin offering and the other is going to Azazel. The goat that is for the Lord is a sin offering. And the goat for Azazel is presented alive and sent out to Azazel in the wilderness. If you can't write these down fast enough, Captain, I will send this to you if you'd like. Verse 11, the bull is offered for the sin of Aaron and his house. Seeing the same pattern repeated here. All right, the atoning for himself, for his house, before the people. Verse 12 and 13, incense is lit and brought into the Holy of Holies and placed before the ark in order to shield Aaron from the presence of God so that he does not die. The idea here is he's filling up this small area with smoke, with incense smoke, because there's something about seeing that, that presence that would have caused him to die. So there's still some kind of veil here, even though he's behind the veil, there's still an obscuring of that presence. To protect it. Yeah, Jerry.
Just a few things tracking to here. You know what? You talked about the emissions and all of those things. Each of those things have to do with death. Like, so blood leaving the body. Life is in the blood, so blood leaving the body is death. Leprosy is death. Eating the clean and unclean is to do also with separation from the nations.
Yep.
And they're clean, they eat clean, they don't eat unclean. And lastly then, the linen clothes have to do with, I think, Exodus 20. They say you should not go up to offer sacrifice, expose your nakedness.
Yeah.
Right? So this is going all the way to Genesis chapter 3, where they're naked, they're ashamed, they can't be naked before God anymore, they can't be naked. They can be naked before each, the husband and wife, but they can't be naked before others. So God has to give them clothes, which represent their righteousness.
Yeah.
So now they have to be clothed. Then in Exodus 34, Moses says to God, God, show me your glory. And he says, no, like, you can't see my face because you're not going to live.
Yeah.
So the cloud is exactly what you said, which is they will die if they see God's face.
Yeah.
Which makes the incarnation a big miracle.
That's right. And so there must have been a couple steps to get up to the altar. The idea is if you're going up a step and you're wearing just you would be exposing your nakedness below you. And so the idea is to have some type of garment that prevents that. But also it does mention the sweat, and if we kind of follow that logic, the sweat is all the water leaving your body. Right? Water is tied to light. Verses 14 and 15, the blood is used according to the law of the sin offering. So the blood is brought in to the holy place. And verse 16, all of this so far is to cleanse or purge the holy place. So it starts with cleansing the place and then the people afterwards. God will dwell there and it must be clean and holy. And I love that. In verse 16, he dwells with the people in the midst of their uncleanness. Like, can we see the mercy in that? You know, that God would do that. And so there's still this nagging question. Well, can't God just make us clean? Right? So he's dwelling with us now, but we're still unclean. I think Isaiah's words come to mind, right? I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So for the righteous person, there's still an understanding that this is not complete. You know, we live by faith, but we're still unclean before him. Verse 17, no other priest may be in the holy place while Aaron is performing his duties in the Holy of Holies. Verses 18 through 19, he will then go and cleanse the altar of the uncleanness of the people. And now the live goat is presented in verse 20. Aaron lays his hand on the head of the goat and transfers the sins of the congregation of the people onto the goat, which is sent to the remote wilderness place. Jerry, you have
one? Yeah, there's one more thing. Everything's unclean because they're offering sacrifices and throughout the year,
yeah,
and all of these become unclean because of the sins of the people. Because so this is a reset,
yeah,
for the next year.
Yeah, and it's a reset that begins in the Holy of Holies and then outward to allow the presence of God to continue dwelling with them. So now Aaron removes his sacred garments and offers burnt offerings. So now he's coming out of the holy place. He's in the court now, and he's offering burnt offerings and sin offerings of the people. We are just out of time here, but we're almost done. Verse 26, the one who brought the goat to the wilderness. So somebody, it says somebody is ready at hand and brings the goat out. In order to re-enter the camp of the saints, they must bathe themselves and wash their clothes first. So they've been outside. They've been in the wilderness. They've been in the place of uncleanness. They have to come back and cleanse themselves before they enter. Verse 27 and 28, the portions of the bull and goat, which are not burned in the sin offering, are brought outside the camp and burned. And that's according to the rule. The one who does this must bathe before returning to the camp as well. In verse 29 through 34, this was to be performed once a year and was to be accompanied by fasting and abstaining from work. Right? This is considered, these days are considered high days, so it would be a Sabbath day. The people would be atoned for and they would be clean. And that gets us to the end of chapter 16. A lot to
few on there, especially in that chapter 16. It kind of really shows a lot of the application of this stuff. So we will be continuing next week and possibly even the week after. I hope this has been helpful for you. But maybe I'll have Flacco, would you close in prayer for us, please?
Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have written these things and provided them to us, Lord, that we may look at them as an example of your charge to those that would serve you, to serve you in a way that is holy. Father, that you would be treated, regarded as holy. We would not take your glory lightly. Father, we thank you also that in these sacrifices, Lord, we see the severity of sin. And we see that the nation was perpetually commanded to sacrifice for that sin until your son came. And he would be the lamb that would take away the sin. Father, we thank you for him. Father, we thank you that he became sin for us so that we who were unrighteous would become the righteousness of God, righteousness of Christ in him. Father, thank you for clothing us with his righteousness and allowing us, Lord, to come into your presence. And Lord, as we continue in our worship, Lord, this morning, Father, we pray that all of these things will be done to your glory. And Father, that we will truly be able to, pure hearts and pure hands, approach you. God, give our praise and thanksgiving to a God who loved us and gave himself to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.